Talk to us a little bit about our guest speaker this morning. I know I didn't ask you to come up, but I'm going to introduce him, but I did want you to share a little bit of what he's meant to you.
So, Pastor Dan, or Happy Dan, as a lot of people call him, man, I just got a hold of his teachings on YouTube right after I got saved about 4 years ago, and man, I want to cry even just saying it, man. He has helped me get free from pornography, from anxiety, from depression. He's helped me just to walk out the truth and just live in grace and intimacy with Jesus. And so I'm just eternally grateful for this man. I want to encourage you, be here every day. Text your friends, family around here to get here today, because I believe this man has a revelation of truth and righteousness and just who we are in Christ. And I believe that it can set people free. And I believe that God will just do a mighty, mighty work in anyone's life who is under this teaching. So, man, you guys are so blessed, and you're in for a treat today. So, yeah, man, God bless you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
So one of the things I like, I'll read the bio in a second, but one of the things that just ministered to me, or that I just kind of think that's awesome, I would want people to say that about me, was is that Dan Moeller, you've kind of heard of him or you haven't heard of him. And the interesting thing about him is he doesn't have this big marketing team or social media team that puts him out there. Yet I keep hearing story after story, stories like Hunter, and then just the lady in front of you, sorry, I don't know your name, but you just had a conversation with you and you said, he's changed my life. And I'm wondering how they got a hold of him, because I tried to Google him and you don't find much, but you keep hearing people being changed by the man. So it's a beautiful mystery, and I kind of admire that, because it does show that God opens the doors and that there's a true anointing on you. It's not a social media anointing. It's not a how many likes can I get anointing. It's the real deal we have with us this week. Amen. Would you help me this morning, Steve, and I welcome Dan Moeller.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. It's an honor. Thank you. Okay. All right. Hey, good morning. Am I on? It was supposed to kick on. Is it on? Okay, good. Well, awesome. Good to see you all this morning. It was kind of neat getting that testimony. Thank you. To never meet a fellow like that and have him come to tears to have me crying. I was like, you better stop soon. I'm going to be all messed up trying to get up here. So listen, what James said, maybe I shouldn't start off with this, but I'm probably a pretty boring guy when it comes to technology. I'm like a caveman. I don't own a computer to this day. I'm not against computers. I'm just not into them. I'm not against technology. There's a lot of good things with technology. I'm just not into it. I'm not that way. So I hope that doesn't matter to you. But I'm zero responsible for anything on YouTube. I've never put anything up on there. They tell me there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours on YouTube. I still don't know who puts it all on there. People have organized it, categorized it, put topics, things. If you guys are watching this fellow that shared, there's a lot of stuff on YouTube. And I'm zero responsible. That to me is exciting. Like somebody's taking all the time to listen to stuff and pull out pieces and title it. And like there's one on there, they say how to resist the devil. They took like a 10-minute little clip on when you get attacked in your mind and how to go after that thing without getting distracted or putting the devil on a stage, you know? And I get countless emails, which a lady gets off the internet for me and prints them for me and puts them in my mailbox. It's hilarious. I'm just trying to explain to you that Jesus can do anything. So I get more emails sent to this Little Neck Ministries website, which is nothing there. There's nothing there. There's like this hardly any, because I told him, I said, I don't want anything fancy. I don't want anything that draws attention to anything. I don't even want a web page. I really didn't want one. And they said, no, you got to have one, you know, because people want to get these teachings and know how to find you and invite you to their churches. But it's real basic, isn't it? Like really basic. I get all these emails that say, please let us help you create a real website. I get that all the time. And my girl types back, he's really not interested in a real website. So what I'm interested in is life in Christ. I'm interested in everyday impact and walking in him and really being free. Like really waking up and loving who you've become because of what he's done, and you see yourself in him. Like I'm really into that. Like I'm really into waking up and not needing anything from you so that I'm free to really love you and be something effective in your life. Because like I know we need each other to lock arms to cover the earth with his glory. I get that. But on the day I need you for my identity, I'm only as good as you're doing me and seeing me. And then that keeps me insecure, and I'm always gathering around things to find myself in things instead of find myself in him. And what he did for me 23 years ago was taught me all those things and changed my life. So for 23 years, it's been a solid, just fun running race with no really, listen, I'm not going to try to sell you nothing. I'm just going to talk plain. You guys let me come, and I'm just going to talk straight, all right? Time will tell. I'm telling the truth. 23 years and not this. Just 23 years of life in him. Not letting life speak louder than truth. Not letting things matter more than what matters most. Not letting people ever again decide who I am or how I am when he's already settled that in me. And giving me confidence and no fear of man and understanding the truth about my life and why I'm here and why he's inside of me. See, that's the stuff it took me a long time to figure out. I was 33 when I got saved. I'm looking out here at your guys and most of your ages, and I'm thinking, man, this is exciting that you guys can get a hold of this, that you're even here in a facility like this and doing what you're doing. I'm proud of you and I'm excited. Stay focused, right? Please make it all about him. Make it all about getting to know him more and who he is becoming the reality and the expression of your life. Yeah? It's really not about ministry. It's about becoming something. And when you become something, ministry is just, it just happens constantly. Like you're not trying to build anything. You're ministering what's already here. And we'll talk about it. I got today, I got tomorrow, and I got Friday. So I'm going to relax and not feel like I'm in a hurry. I know it's only 3 hours total, so that freaks me out a little because there's a lot in my heart. But we'll get through. We'll be all right. Because I'm playing it so calm for you right now. I'm easing you in. No, the gospel's transforming. And I've been preaching all over for a lot of years these truths. And when a young man, I think it was Hunter, comes up and starts crying, it humbles and touches my heart because the gospel is here to transform my life. It's not here just to assign me to heaven, a seat in heaven someday. I didn't sign a dotted line. I didn't just pray a prayer to get to heaven. Heaven wants to come in me. Heaven wants to come back into me. The kingdom of God is here. And I'm looking at it. I'm looking at the kingdom of God. Like, I'm serious. I'm looking at the roster of heaven. And they're not fancy words. You're the best he's got. And he ain't looking anywhere else. He called you out, right? Nobody comes to God unless he's drawn by him. You wouldn't even have a remote desire or hunger for God if grace wasn't wooing your heart. Well, why would he draw you? Because he wants you. Look, I understand we've made mistakes, been here, been there. I get that. But please understand that's not your story. Your story is new life through Jesus Christ. Your story is a new reason for being. It's a new creation. It's old things passing away and all things becoming new. So I want to talk about how that change takes place and how important it is to understand the gospel in a way where the transforming power of what he accomplished takes place in our lives, where we can stand and really say, you know what, I am not the same person, I'm free. And it's not because I bit my lip and tried harder, I believe something that began to change me. Because you're saved by grace through faith. So if you believe clear, your life will get really, really clear. And all of a sudden, you're not trying to be okay. You are okay. You're not waking up and trying not to sin. You understand you're his. And you have access to God and you have freedom through the Spirit. Amen? Amen. So let's just talk. Can I get real foundational with you here? And just so some of you guys bear with me if I'm too foundational. But foundation to me is really good. Who here would say you've heard my heart before? You've heard me preach. So it's a handful of you. So most of you haven't. Who hasn't? I should ask that. Whoa. That's amazing. Now I'm really excited. Bear with me. Don't jump on everything I say. Study it out. Check scripture. You'll hear a ton of scripture. It's amazing. This Bible is not my Bible. It's in the room that they gave me. It's the first time, James, ever that I didn't bring my Bible. I totally didn't put it in my suitcase. It was sitting in a different place. It's my Bible, man. You know what I mean? I have notes. It's all colored up. I actually use a color code. I have a color code in my Bible, and I have different colors that mean different things, and I ask Holy Spirit to show me those things. My Bible is beautiful. It's just colored. And then what I do is I get it all colored up and all noted up, and then I give it to a fairly new Christian. And then I just mark another one up and give it to a fairly new Christian. But the one I have all marked up is at home right now. And it's a Spirit-filled life Bible, and it's like my Bible. And when I get another Bible, it's like a foreign book almost, because I read the Spirit-filled life Bible. It's just what I've gotten used to, and I have it all colored and marked. So I was like, Lord, I really did forget. I'm coming to a Bible Institute and forgot my Bible. This is ridiculous. Like, I've never done that, ever, like ever. And I walked in the room they so blessed me with, and I was putting my stuff away, and the guys that dropped me off left, and I looked up, and right there on the shelf was a Spirit-filled life Bible. Just sitting there, and it's the only Bible I could find in the place, but it was sitting right there, and it's the Bible that I use. It's just cool. So when I open it up, it looks like mine, except for there's no color in this one. If you look in Genesis chapter 1, you can look there if you want to. It's in verse 26. God said, let us make man in our image. God said, let us make man in our image, and he said to have dominion over a whole list of things there. Just read it for you. I'm just going to start in the beginning because I want to understand from the beginning. God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So you have dominion even over the creep, and that's not people. So God created man. So verse 26, he thought about it. Verse 27, he did it. So a verse later, it records that God created man. So he didn't come from a mud puddle, a big bang, all the stuff people say. The word of God that we all say we believe says that God created man. You agree? Okay. But he didn't just create man. He created man in his own image. Well, seeing that God's spirit, he doesn't have a head and arms and eyes and nose and legs and all that stuff like we do in the physical flesh body. When I see image, and you can do all the word studies you want, I'm just saying, man, if I was walking down the street and I found a Bible laying along a curb and picked it up and I would read this, I think God's a little more simple than sometimes we make things. Like when God writes he made man in his image, that means he made man with intention, with purpose. There's a reason for being. God didn't just make man. He is so full of life. Who knows God so full of life? But he didn't just sneeze playing and fiddling board one day in some clay, and he sneezed and a man was in his hand. It didn't go down like that. He said from his heart, he said, let us make man. I found in my Bible in Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be born, and here you all sit and here I am. Man, we are the will of God. The fact that you're here is because God said, let there be you. Yeah, you're not happenstance. Come on, how many people? Well, my life's an accident. I shouldn't have been born. Well, they don't care. And we're letting all this stuff matter that doesn't really matter. The fact that your heart's beating, that you were here. You're not just here. The Bible doesn't teach you're here because a man went into a woman. The Bible teaches you're here because there's a time to be born. There's 500 million sperm cells racing to one egg. It's only one. It was you. Don't ever be deceived. Don't you ever let life speak louder than truth. Truth is where you find freedom. Come on. We've grown up in degenerate feelings, degenerate emotions. We've tried to fit in. We've looked for reputation. We've tried to feel like somebody. We've wanted to be accepted and loved and needed. And it's been a downfall to so many. And I'm going to talk about all that. That all has to go away if you're ever going to live free and fulfill what he created you for. All that can go away and will go away when we understand the truth, because the truth brings freedom. Are you with me? We'll explain this all in a second. So here's God making man in his image, in his own likeness. Well, I know God is glory. He's magnificent. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. There's a lot of things you can describe God, but the Bible says that God is love. And everything that he does flows out of love. In fact, it says if you and I don't have love, we have nothing. So love must be a big deal. And it's not like a Valentine's Day phrase and an I love you on a card phrase. It's love. It's a thing that doesn't seek its own. It's something that takes no account of the wrong done to it, because it's not about itself. It's about the highest sake of others. Love is a big deal. Love isn't a gushy feeling. It's not, oh, I love you. Most of the time when we say I love you, we're saying I need you. You make my life work. You make me feel better. You give me stability. I wouldn't be okay without you. I really need you. We translate it into love, but it's really need. That's why we think the people closest to us can hurt us the most. It's not true. When you love. When you love, you don't hurt for yourself, because love doesn't seek its own. You hurt for others. You understand it. If people knew who they were, they wouldn't do what they're doing. They're blind. And all of a sudden, the phrase that's so familiar to us, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do, starts making sense. And all of a sudden, Jesus isn't here to make a name for himself. He's here to give you a new one. All of a sudden, Jesus isn't here to be treated right. He's here to give you what the Father wants you to have from the beginning. And all of a sudden, I get the love of the Father through the Son. And all of a sudden, I see Jesus hanging on a cross, and I go, oh my goodness. And he doesn't just say, sing to me and pray to me when you're overwhelmed. He says, follow me. What he's saying is, when you see me, you see who I am in you and what you're called to be. Follow me. Follow me. And what I see is a living and epistle of love. And what I saw before him in my life wasn't love. It was total self-centeredness. Even when I did good, it suited me. Even when I did good, it had a kickback for me. My life was always tainted with what about me? Isn't it amazing that Jesus said, if any man, that means everybody's invited. If any man come after me, let him first do this one thing, you got to do one thing, deny yourself. Why? I just showed you in the Bible, you were never made for you. You were made for his image. You were made for his image. You weren't made for you. You were made for his image in you. Yeah? Look, I'm not a politician and I'm not the brightest man on the planet. My hair is white and the Bible says that's wisdom, so I'm going to take it for what the word says. But, just having fun with you. But I don't believe the biggest problem on the earth is politics, and I don't think the biggest problem is ISIS and terrorism and racism. I believe the biggest problem on the earth, where all those things come out of, is men waking up every day living for themselves when they're created for God's image. To me, don't get hurt by this, be sobered by this. It's even a bigger tragedy when Christians are Christians for themselves and not his great name. You cannot be a Christian for yourself. You have to seek first the kingdom of God. You have to be a Christian for his great name. Christianity isn't something you do. Christianity is something you become. It's life change. It's a brand new heart and motive. It's a new reason for being. You're not incorporating him into your life. He becomes your life. And he's love. And love never fails. Why? It doesn't seek its own, so it can't be disheartened and broken and destroyed and battered and depressed and discouraged and all the things that we call familiar. See, if I wake up for a ministry, I'm as good as the ministry's gone. If I wake up for his great name, I'm as good as he is in me. If I wake up to be loved by you, I'm as good as you're loving me. But if I wake up to love you, this thing is on, you see? Ain't that amazing? Christianity just tweaks the why behind your life. A lot of people, even in church, run to things that are happening and exciting, and they try to find identity through the movement. It's a trap. You can't find identity through this Bible college. You find identity through him. And then you find out how to function in that identity through this Bible college. But you never find your identity through what you're a part of. You find your identity through what's in you and who you've become. And if you clean the inside of the cup, guess what the outside is? It's already clean. Yeah? So here's the deal. God made man in his image. And God is love. I'm convinced of this. This changed my life 23 years ago. Transformed me. And caused me to live rock solid without trying. Like, I don't wake up and try to ever be okay, honestly. I've never tried to live the Christian life. That sounds robotic. I've enjoyed being in him. I'm loved. I'm accepted. I'm righteous. I'm forgiven. Like, Holy Spirit loves me and wants to live in me. Like I'm his choice. And I was yet a sinner, and he sent his son and said, I know a higher truth about you. Come on, this isn't a proud and weird thing. It's something that transforms me. It's not a grace that just makes everything okay. It's a grace that changes me. A lot of people are scared in this day to preach true grace because there's grace movement, greasy grace, all this stuff. Listen, if somebody's preaching grace and it's not producing transformation, it's perversion. Grace and mercy are two different things. Mercy gives you a chance when you have none. Grace empowers you now that you've been given one. Yeah? It changes your life. This is very important. He's the God of all grace. And if we can't preach grace, we can't even preach the gospel. You're saved by grace through faith. But we're not talking about a grace that says, oh, well, he just loves me for whatever. No, no, no. He loves you for what he created you to be, what he called you to, and what your life looks like when he's in you and you're surrendered. And he paid a price for your total redemption. And he's willing to wash away everything you've ever been to make new and restore everything he's always desired you to be. And it's just a covenant relationship. It's something you step into and say, all that is mine is yours. And he says, all that is mine is yours. And together we become one. Yeah? So I want to talk to you about this a little bit. And I'm going to show you a pile of scripture here. I'm just laying a foundation. That's why I'm standing here. I'll get back to my Spirit-filled life Bible in a second. I'm in a Bible institute. I got to get to my Bible soon. Let us make man in our image, in our own likeness. If you look there, he made both male and female in verse 27 in his image. He blessed us. He blessed us, guys. He didn't curse man. He blessed man. And in that place, he said, man, this is good. Be fruitful. And the first thing we think of is coming together and having children. Somebody getting pregnant like Eve and Adam coming. It's the first thing we think of. The whole context of those two verses are his image. What he wants to do is multiply his image and cover the earth with his glory. He's not just talking about having children. What he's talking about is living in me and through me and coming together in me and everything, each seed after its own kind. He already established that first law, seed time, harvest time, each seed after its own kind. It's just a couple verses back there. So here's a man in him, in his image, and a woman in him, in his image, coming together, reproducing his image and covering the earth with his glory. That's why when Moses was in the wilderness and everything's all in shambles because of sin and the laws coming into play to convict men and set things straight and point to Jesus, right? That's all happening there in Moses' day. And God said at one point, it sounds like he's frustrated. You read the language. He's like, oh, these people. And he says, he looks at Moses and he says, Moses is tearing probably the 10th robe of the month or something, and he's throwing dirt, and he's like, God, you know, Moses went through some clothes. And he said, please forgive him. And he said, I'll forgive him, Moses. But you know what? As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. What's he talking about? The reason man's here. He's going back to the beginning and why man's here, and he's refusing to look at the present state of man, and he's prophesying and saying, my son is coming. He's going to be a root shot out of dry ground, right? And as many as come to him will be saved, and his life will come back inside of them and live through them. And they're not going to love their own lives unto death. They're going to love one another and love people and live for my great name. As surely as I live, the whole earth shall be filled with my glory. Sometimes we think he's just talking about some big outpouring that's more impersonal. Just an outpouring that makes you feel amazing. No, no, no. He's talking about him coming inside of you and you becoming who he is from the inside out, walking in love. Yeah? Here's the deal. If God is love, would y'all agree God is love? So nobody disagrees that God is love. So the greatest way to describe God, the clearest way, would be to say that God is love. Because even when he disciplines, it's because he loves. No matter what God does, it comes from the wellspring of love, right? He's love. Would you agree? So if God made man like him, then God made man to love. So the whole purpose man's on the earth is to love, not need, not be self-centered. He said, Adam, of everything in this garden, you tend to keep it, you can eat and partake of every. Except for that tree over there, knowledge, good and evil. The day you eat that tree is the day you surely die. Well, we all know he ate the tree. Eve was deceived and he followed her instead of him. True? Did he fall over dead? People say, well, what died? And we all say he died spiritually because it sounds spiritual. It sounds like the right answer, but it doesn't mean a lot to us. We just say he died spiritually, so enter. Now we need to get born again, pray this prayer, confess Jesus so he comes back into our heart, and now we're not dead anymore. I get that, but watch this. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. What died when he ate the tree? He died. Everything he was created to be. He completely lost his created value, his identity, his purpose, and everything. He didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy, and love became self-centered. He's got his flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone standing there, his wife, the woman who he came out of a sleep, and there she was. God said, hey, Adam, how'd you know you were naked? Did you eat your tree? Well, it was the woman you gave me. She gave me to eat. He couldn't even say, yes, Lord. Self-defending, self-protecting, self-justified, blame-shifting. First effect of a fallen man in sin already there in Genesis 3. What's he saying? Well, God, I don't know, but if you, when they gave me the woman, probably when they ate the tree, work it out. But it ain't me. It's a yes or no question. Did you eat the tree that I forbid you to eat from? He can't say yes. Why? Because all of a sudden it's all about him. It's not about him. Did you ever do that growing up? Did you ever blame it on somebody? Did you ever live at the expense of another person ever? I'll tell you, you're in a family of 2, 3, 4, and you just have an attitude that puts pressure on them. It's not Jesus. You're not adding life. You're taking life. You're just forcing people to live around your world. But it's normal to us because we grew up that way and we think it's normal. Why? Because here's what happened. When Adam sinned, he got cut off from God, so he got cut off from the source of love. God still loves him, but he's cut off from the source of love, so he becomes in need of love. And Romans 5 teaches that every man was born into Adam, and you must be born again. Somehow, not putting this on this institute, I'm saying across the world, somehow we turn born again into a prayer that qualifies me to go to heaven instead of restores me back to the truth of why I'm here. People say, well, God gave us emotions. God didn't give you the emotions you grew up with. Adam gave you those. Nobody had to teach you to be angry. It came with the package. Why? Because you thought for yourself. You let a mama take the binky from the baby that can't even speak yet, and you'll see that Adam fell. You just, adolescence age, it's really mine, gimme, It's all about me. From the time you're born, you got to get born again. Here's the part I get concerned about that I feel like we've missed. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself. It's not a legalistic thing. It's not some rigid... It's, oh my goodness, I was never made for me. I was made for your image. This is good news. I don't have to carry this weight anymore, this pressure. I don't have to get people to like me. I don't have to try to fit in. I don't have to need. I'm complete in Christ. He's fulfilled me. He's like, hey, look. Oh my goodness. Wonder if we, everybody in this room, would let the gospel teach us just this one thing in the whole semester, just this one thing. Now we're going to learn a lot more, James, but it's just one thing, just one thing. Wonder if you'd let the gospel teach you this one thing, that you just wake up in the morning and really believe this through prayer and through time and communion spent with God, which we have plenty of time to nail down and talk about this week. Wonder if you let the gospel teach you this one thing, that nobody owes me a thing, that the whole reason I'm on the earth is to shine, period. Period. The whole reason that I'm alive today, mercy woke me up today to give me one more day to be like him. Wonder if that's what really mattered in our lives. I bet you wouldn't be hurt anymore, discouraged, disappointed, frustrated. I bet you wouldn't be afraid anymore. I bet you couldn't fear for something that's already dead. I bet it wouldn't be about making it and provision and baskets full and my ministry working. I bet this is what freedom's all about. How can we sing we're free and we're bound by somebody else's comments? How can we sing we're free and we're bound because something didn't work the way we should and somebody said something they shouldn't have? And all of a sudden I'm just another people button away from not being free, but I sing I'm free. Look, I'm done singing I'm free. I'm living free. You get it? I'm going to let the gospel teach me that the whole reason I'm alive is to be like him. And if he wrote that, that means I can. And if he sent the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead to live in me, called Holy Spirit, to live in me, he'll quicken me, he'll empower me, he'll help me. If I stay humble and asking and seeking, I'm going to find everything I need to walk this out. But wonder if he changes my reason for being through a born-again experience. Wonder if born again means born again. Sorry, I'm just that simple. Wonder if it means born again. Wonder if it's not a prayer that takes you to heaven. Wonder if it's new life through Jesus Christ. Wonder if that just doesn't mean the forgiveness of sins. Wonder if that means the change and restoration of everything, redemption. Man becoming what he was created to be, paid for through the blood. Yeah? Isn't it amazing God breathed into Adam? And man became a living being. And he said, the day you eat that tree is the day you surely die. Who gave the life? God. Why? God wants man alive in him. See, when you look at the Bible, it teaches us so much. You know, I teach this. It's just an off thought. But I was saying about everybody's on purpose. Here's a time to be born. So if you're here, God said so. That's why suicide, to me, personally, is the biggest tragic expression of deception on the planet. It's a man taking his own life when it wasn't his. You get so deceived that you take something that's not even yours. It was never your life. It's always been his life in you. And you get so self-driven that you say, well, it's my life. I'll do with it what I want. It's my life. It's not even your life. It's not even your calling. It's his calling. It's the hope of his calling. It's the glory of his inheritance in the saints. It's the exceeding greatness of his power. It's not your anointing. It's his anointing on you. Yeah? Come on, that's just humbling and awesome. It's not your calling. In fact, I can find your calling. Your calling is in 1 Peter chapter 2. I think it's like verse 20-ish. Verse 20. It says, you were called to this for suffering for doing good. You were called to suffer for doing good in a world that doesn't understand, that's self-centered and twisted. You're coming out of the darkness into the light, right? You're going to live your life, Philippians 2, without grumbling, without complaining, so the world sees you as an innocent, harmless child in the midst of a twisted up, self-centered world, whom you, shining forth as a light, hold forth the word of life. That's Philippians 2. First Peter says that if you suffer for doing wrong and take it patiently, what's the big deal? You ought to. But when you suffer for doing good and take it patiently, well, now we're talking. It says, to this you were called. For you have Christ as an example. You should follow his footsteps. And then there's a colon right there in 1 Peter chapter 2. Follow his footsteps, colon. That means he's about to list his steps. The first one on the list said, committed no sin. Brother, that's perfection. Nobody's perfect. He's not talking about perfection. He's talking about never letting sin against you give the right to produce sin in you. He's talking about overcoming evil with good. Toning down a harsh word with a kind word. Letting love cover a multitude of sin. Sounds like the gospel to me. And we got to make sure it's not Amen Sunday stuff. I've been alone with him. I've read these things and I've wept and I've knelt and I've been with him when you weren't looking. And I've said, my life isn't my own. I want all these things to be the reality in me. When I see men, I want to see what you've always seen. I don't want to see one throwaway ever or I'm not looking clear. I don't want to see a man for what he's not. I want to see a man for what he's created to be. I want to always be able to believe and see the best in a man. I want to have that ability and that wisdom and that authenticity, that sincerity to reach down in and to pull that thing out, even if they have no clue it's there. God, I have to see men like you see them. What you saw in me when I was lost, when I was selfish, when I knew better in my conscience and my convictions, but didn't really know better, but knew my life was wrong and wasn't willing to admit it. Somehow you never changed your mind about me, Lord. Your love has never failed. I want that truth in me so that I can see men like you if I represent you. If I'm the body of Christ, embody me. Yeah? Come on, this is just a lot more than feeling better. Woo. Come on. I don't want to learn how to do church and fail to be her. I want to be her. I don't want to learn how to do her. I want to be her. And I want you to be her with me. Yeah, that's not a slam. Let's do everything we do with purpose and intention to become that very thing. All this worship, I saw the sign out there. You guys understand the power of worship. This whole institute does, and you guys are obviously reaping the benefit of that. Man, let that usher you into intimacy, usher you into personal revelation and relationship. Think about what you're singing. Put it on. Don't ever let your worship time take the place of knowing Him. Let knowing Him bring you into bigger and greater worship time. You just don't let attending here take the place of knowing Him. Ministry take the place of knowing Him. Service within the CFNI take the place of knowing Him. You don't let the Christian things you do take the place of knowing Him. Because knowing Him transforms you. This is eternal life. Not that you prayed a prayer to go to heaven. This is eternal life. John 17:3. That you might know Him. Know Him. It's intimate. And it's amazing. And you know Him through His Son. You know what 1 John 4:7-8 says? It says, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because God is love. Watch. And everyone who loveth is born of God and knows God. He says the only way you can love, if you love, it's a dead giveaway. You know Him. Because if you didn't know Him, you couldn't love. He's talking about God love. He's not talking about mushy, emotional, ooh, love. He's not talking about the phileo and the eros and all the words we know. He's talking about agape love, selfless love that seeks the highest best of another, that takes no account of a suffered wrong. Well, if we understood that in the body of Christ, why are we busted up about the things that have happened? Why does anybody even talk about what happened wrong? Why do we remember it like it's yesterday? Well, you don't know what I've been through. Man, Jesus would be talking all day. All I ever wanted to do was good. They just didn't appreciate it. I healed the whole city and they tried to figure out what demon possessed me. And then they released Barabbas. He kills a man and I raise the dead and they want to crucify me. I'm confused. Jesus would have issues. He doesn't have issues. He's love. He's love. And honestly, if you understood it, you don't have issues either. You have unfortunate experiences that happen in blindness, sometimes maliciousness, sometimes just the cycle and swirl of sin. But don't let that thing trick you and make you the same. You come out and you walk in the light like He's in the light. You walk in love and you be able to stand there and look at your accusers and you say, forgive them, Father, truly. Because if they knew who they were, they wouldn't have said what they said or did what they did. If my uncle knew who I was and who he was way back then, he'd have never touched me wrong like that. If my dad would have, he would have never, right? Come on. You'd be amazed how much we're letting what happened to us decide who we are and how we are instead of what happened to him. And we get so caught up with our life and miss his life in us. Look, it doesn't matter that my dad was an alcoholic and never said he loved me. That's irrelevant. It doesn't matter that I was touched wrong at a young age. What's that have anything to do with now that I've been touched right and he's inside of me? It doesn't matter that my mother was sick for 40 years and died young. When you look at me, you can't see any of that anyway. Why? You're not supposed to. None of that is my life. I got new life. Yeah? Come on. Or the cross isn't enough and the blood isn't enough and we have to jump through hoops and put out fires. No, I'm a firm believer the blood is enough. I'm a firm believer I find myself in Him, that I'm complete in Him, that my dad owes me nothing. He doesn't have to make up for lost time because you can't. And I don't need him to say the right thing. The right thing has come to me. So now I look at my dad and have compassion, not unforgiveness. Now I look at my dad and I have mercy, not frustration. So guess what happens when I get saved? My dad sees my transformation, comes to me crying, and he gets born again. That sure beats being angry at your dad. Yeah. Yay. Here's the deal about this emotion thing. People say, well, God gave us emotions. I'm just an open guy. James is sitting right here. I don't know totally what you guys teach on emotions here. I know some Bible colleges for sure know that they teach don't let anybody infringe on your God-given right to human reason, rationale. It's a gift. You be careful that you're not talking about analytical. But God never gave you the ability to talk yourself out of Him. And God didn't create fear. Fear came through the fall of man. That's why Jesus keeps saying, fear not, fear not. Angels, fear not, fear not. Jesus, fear not. Hey, guys, no fear. Haven't been given the spirit of fear. Hello? Yeah, but it's so normal to me. Oh, no. Fear not. Fear came through the fall of man. All the emotions you and I have experienced from the time we were born came from separation from God, not knowing Him and not knowing who we were. Every one of us in this room was in identity crisis and you were trying to find yourself along the way. At a very young age, you needed value, you needed stability, you needed appreciated, you needed to feel important, or you had low esteem, you had no worth, and you were out to prove that you mattered. Even though you didn't believe you mattered, if somebody made you feel you mattered, at least you believed they thought you mattered. Everybody in this room knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's what we were all born into. We were born into the chaos of no identity and not knowing who we were. And everything from the beginning was perverted through separation from God. And we're going to say God gave us the emotions we grew up with? Absolutely not. Adam gave us those. You didn't have to study to be discouraged. You didn't have to crash the books to be disappointed. It came natural. Why? Because love turned into self-centeredness through sin. So if any man come to me, let him deny himself and get rid of the problem. It's not the devil. It's not people that do you wrong. It's you thinking for you in the face of people. If Jesus thought for himself when they were doing him wrong, he's never making it to the cross. No, he's thinking of you and me while we're doing him wrong. Saying you're so much more than that. One day you'll see I'm the light of the world. I'm going to light this place up. Come on. See, I respect this so much. This puts diligence in me. This kind of revelation, I don't have to try hard to be a Christian. I see what He's done through His love. And you see His first love and you love Him. You're not trying to love Him. You understand that you would never be able to change His mind because He only saw you for what He created you to be. And on your darkest day, He didn't lose sight of your potential, purpose, destiny. And while we were yet sinners, He sent His Son. Come on, you be honest with me. People that continue to live repetitively in a bad way get on our nerves, bother us, weary us, cause us to get opinionated. Well, I'd like to get new nerves. Here's what I know. If He's Lord, the governing factor, the supreme being, the ruling one of the earth, if He's the Lord, in the end of my life, I don't want any other thing to decide who I am and how I am but Him. Because I'm not going to be able to stand before Him and say, well, you know, if they won, I don't know why He didn't answer that prayer, remember? I mean, God. I'm just going to realize I didn't believe or understand something. I don't want one thing to determine who I am and how I am. Unless His name is Jesus. It's called born again, guys. That's why He sent His Son. So that you could lay down your life and deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Not just sing to Him, not pray to Him when you're overwhelmed, not pray to Him when you're in need. Follow Him. Ain't that an amazing invite? So I didn't get a whole lot probably established this morning. Maybe I did. But I'll build on it. I got two more sessions. But here's the thing I want you to really get out of this morning. There's a reason God sent His Son. And it wasn't just to forgive your sin, it was to put his life back inside of you. And with his life comes his ways, his purpose, his motive. And the biggest trap that sincere people make, because you're sincere. You're not. I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. Are you kidding me? You're in this Bible college because you're sincere. I'm not preaching this to you because you're messing up. I'm preaching it to you because it's what you're called to. You follow me? But here's the deal. He wants to live inside of you and give you his life. And in his life is all that he is. His motives, his ways. Yeah? The Israelites didn't know his ways. We can. He's inside of us. Holy Spirit is in us. Like, yay? Yeah. So when you're alone in your personal time with God, please have personal time with the Lord. If you don't have secret personal time with the Lord, you're going to let the stuff you do corporately take the place of the intimate stuff. Remember when I quoted 1 John 4, 7-8? I only did 7. I didn't finish 8. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. And everyone who loveth is born of God and knows God. That's why he loves. The only reason he loves is because he knows God. Watch. He who loveth not just doesn't know God. Doesn't say he doesn't pastor. Doesn't say he doesn't see his need for a Savior and see that he sinned and need his sins forgiven. It says if he doesn't love, there's one reason, not two. He doesn't know love. God is love. If a man doesn't love, he doesn't know God. And he stops right there. He doesn't even go into it. He's not born of God. And a lot of people think, well, yeah, he's certainly not born of God. I've met people in my life that are sincere and they're letting their ministry identify their life. They're letting their calling, their gifting, their anointing identify their life. And they're hurt by others and they're striving and they're trying to get position. And sometimes they're more worried about what people think of them and how do I preach and do they like me. That's a sign of not knowing him. Watch. It's not normal. It's deception. Look what it produces. When you see the fruit of what something produces, you can tell if there's any truth behind it. If you weigh a mindset, look at what the mindset's producing and you can find if that thing came from the Lord. Are you with me? Come on, you're not here to be successful. Whatever that means. You're here to get to know him more. And you've set this thing aside in your life to get to know him more. Because in knowing him, you'll love like him. And in loving like him, the whole earth will be filled with his glory. Here's how I know this is right without getting into a debate. You can fill every seat in every church this coming Sunday all across this nation. You could fill every church and everybody would be like, wow, that's news making. Every church was full. But there's no guarantee that'll even affect the world even a little bit. Us going to church and attending a service on a Sunday, filling every church ever built, never changed the world. But watch, you becoming love. Saying goodbye to hurt and offense and anger and frustration and discouragement and despair and stop believing their normal traits of humanity. I bet that'll change the world. I bet you just waking up and already being okay because you woke up. And you got some circumstances and you aren't sure how this finance thing's going to work out. And you got a little bit of stuff over here going on that you don't even understand the injustice behind. And you're not really thinking too deep about it. And you got stuff in your life that's trying to... But man, you wake up and you understand why. And all of a sudden you let matter most what matters most. So that you can handle everything else through that truth. It's just a very clear. So all I did was lay a foundation and spring off of that tomorrow and the next day. And I'll give you some more clarity on how do we get here. Because you can't just walk out of here and say, okay, I'm going to love like that. You become that love. And it's a work of grace. And I promise you, it's his whole intention. I have 2 or 3 minutes. I'll close with this a couple statements. I'm going to pray over you guys and let you all run into your day in the Lord. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, at the end of 12, it says to desire the best gifts. So it's good to desire the gifts. And then he says, but let me show you a more excellent way. And he talks a whole chapter about love. And in that chapter, he says stuff like this. It's really phenomenal. He says, you could have all knowledge of all mysteries.
Well, that would be pretty cool.
All knowledge of all, not some knowledge of some mysteries, not kind of impressive, not read some mail. All knowledge, all mysteries. Faith to move all mountains. That means all faith to move everything that ever stood in front of a man. Come on, that's an icon. That's a spiritual icon. That's the closest thing to Jesus being described we've ever seen. That's the keynote speaker at every world conference, and we all want impartation. Am I telling the truth? All knowledge, all mysteries, all faith, all mountains. Bam, done. Woohoo! But if he has not love, he's missed the whole point and he's got nothing. Oh, he has tremendous gifting and a lot of mountains have moved and there's a lot of mail being read and words. But he's missing the whole point. He thinks what he does is who he is. It's going to find trouble down the road. And I'm going to make a bold statement. The stuff we read in men and women's lives and ministers that have tremendous gifting and the stuff, and the biggest mistake we make is we say, well, everybody's just human. It just shows God works with imperfect vessels. No. There's no way you can live that way when you're in intimate fellowship with God. Don't let anybody deceive you. I will stand before God and answer for saying this all my Christian life. Don't you let anybody tell you that you have to live in the flesh when the Bible says live in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I am not a wanton moment away from just failing in the flesh when I'm living by the spirit. Don't let anybody minimize life in the spirit to you, and let's stop boasting in flesh rather than boasting God's ability to change us. Are you following me? Because there's so many people that have stumbled because of men that we've seen God in. But they're finding their identity through their gifting and anointing and calling, not the relationship, intimacy, and love. There's no way I'm in the arms of someone that's not my wife if I'm in communion and fellowship with Holy Spirit. It's not happening, friend. The Bible teaches that, not me. So walk out your calling and know that you have a right to be in him. While you were all yet a sinner, he came and sent his son to put his life in you and his ways in you and his love in you. So be encouraged and don't let yesterday matter more. And don't let other things matter more. This thing matters most. It's new life. Can you stand to your feet? I want to pray over you. I'm going to close right on time here and be a good boy. I'm honored that I could come. And I just laid a foundation today. I wasn't sure how that was going to look, but I know now. And tomorrow we'll talk more about it and just spring off. I'll have two more sessions with y'all. Y'all good?
Yeah.
Okay, listen. He paid for this. And when you get zealous and excited about this simple truth that, hey, wait a minute. Man, the way I grew up wasn't the way he created me to be. I became that way through Adam. I need a new thing through Christ. I can put off the old and put on the new. And I'm going to talk about that this week, how easy that is. And all it requires of you is sincerity. And a willing yes. Because the pure in heart shall. Ain't that awesome? So I guess to become love, you have to want to. You say, well, why wouldn't I? Lots of people don't want to become love. They want to hold on to human rights and debates and tit for tat. And he said, she said, and I wouldn't feel if they didn't. Well, how come they? Well, I don't know. Make sure you don't sell cheap when you're not for sale. You've been bought with a price. And you're not your own, but that's not controlling. That's covenant. Can I pray over you? Why don't we lift our hands to him? That's just a sign of yielding and surrender. Father, let your grace come. Let these words burn a mark in our hearts and bring a conviction to our lives. Let the goodness of what you've done through your son remain good in our sight in such a way that it brings transformation in every way. And Lord God, let people see these lives shining even brighter and brighter as we grow and mature, just more and more. And men know that there's a God because they see the light so shining. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you it's more than good works and good deeds. It's lives transformed. And I thank you for a grace of transformation that's in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks.